Now, my last career, I crunched a lot of numbers, then presented and made recommendations about those numbers. So maybe we could begin there, just to get things going. You have an amazing leader here in Pastor Frank, so I thought a comparison between the two of us might make for a helpful introduction. What will we be comparing? First, let's talk about education. All right. So, I'm halfway through seminary. That's 2 years in. Pastor Frank has completed all 4 years. A couple years, I'll catch up. That doesn't seem so bad. We're not so different, you and I. Okay. Well, how about years in ministry? Maybe things change. Oh. Well, I've worked in a faith community for 2 years. Till last month, my title was Director of Ministry at St. Michael in Wellington. But there's an asterisk there if you look really close. That was part-time, just 20 hours a week. There's no asterisk by Pastor Frank, and his number's a lot bigger, 30 years. Wow, those are large differences. Okay. Well, maybe just one more comparison, see where we can go from there. How about number of sermons? Do you notice how the bar charts get more and more different and our pictures are a little different size? Okay. So I've done 8. This is number 9. Pastor Frank, by my calculations, you've done a lot, almost 1,500. I delivered many of them for 3 straight services. Whew. This is not looking good. I cannot compete, so I will not try. Okay, maybe this could be turned into a personal goal. My goal for this sermon is to be 2% as good as Pastor Frank. Just 2%. That might be reachable. So please let me know on the way out any feedback you might have. Was that 2% reached? When Pastor Frank asked me to share a personal call story, it reminded me of how unique call stories can be. In seminary, everyone has a call story. They tell them a lot of times. Some of them are just fascinating. So I'd like to briefly share a few of those other call stories from some friends. Friend Sarah describes herself as a middle-aged tattooed lion and tiger keeper. I wish I had a picture of her. It's quite a visual. That's what she used to do. But now, instead of taming lions and tigers, she feels called to show people the wild of God that exists in all things. She still has those tattoos. That's also a part of her call. Frankly, they're pretty cool tattoos. Ivy first heard her call when she was up front at a children's sermon at age 7. Can you imagine? In that moment, she looked into the pulpit and thought, I'm going to be up there someday. Earlier this summer, at age 40, she was ordained and started her first call at a Lutheran church in North Dakota. She got there. Seminary friend Roger first experienced his call in 1991 as his unit was about to cross into Iraq during the Gulf War. The chaplain for his battalion held a worship service that day on the hood of his Humvee. Roger says there were more people there at worship than he'd ever seen in 20 years of going to church back home. He learned from this about the power of God to calm very real fears and says he continues to be guided by this experience to this day. A common thread I heard from most everyone in seminary is that they fought the call, sometimes for years, sometimes for decades. The best quote I heard about call, and again, this is from seminary friends, I think this is pretty funny, is from a former ELCA assistant to the bishop, Mark Nelson. He sums it up by saying, going to seminary is kind of like throwing up. This is a direct quote. You can put it off for a while, sure, but if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And on that note, I'd like to share a few call stories of my own. Yes, that stories with an S, plural. We'll get to why there's more than one call story a bit later, just so No one is worried. There's no vomiting in my stories. At least it's in here. All right. This first story is about family. It's not good for man to be alone, Genesis chapter 2 tells us. God felt so strongly about this that God made a partner for Adam in the form of Eve. This Adam met his Eve. She prefers to be called Kathy most days, during his freshman year in college. We became friends that fateful day, 21 years ago. But it took another 18 months for our planets to more closely align. I had to get some college partying out of the system first. Kathy was still seriously dating her high school boyfriend. When we did start dating, I realized early on that this was not just another girl. Kathy was special. She was marriage material. For a 19-year-old, that's hard to think about. But was she the one for me? God was calling. I picked up the phone, listened as best I could. Are you sure she's the right one, God? That still small voice suggested, yes, yes, she is. I fought that voice for a while. Guys just tend to be a little stubborn when it comes to love. After 6 years of dating during college and attending graduate schools thousands of miles apart, we married. That call to marriage for the two of us was almost 15 years ago now. We haven't looked back. After several years of married life, we felt a new call, the call to become parents. To be honest, Kathy, again, she felt this call first. But being the stubborn guy that I am, well, I fought this one too. Kids are expensive. They take a lot of time. They really do. And you can't put them in the kennel when you vacation. At least legally. But God kept on calling. And the more time went by, the louder that ringer became. And really, it did feel like something was missing from life. We were being called for more. And eventually, we started trying to conceive. After a few hurdles, we were blessed with two children, Hannah, now age 5, and Graham, who's almost 2. But before that call, way before, there was another call, the call to community. Perhaps it's this call, we could call it a call to be part of a faith community. While Kathy's a lifelong Lutheran, I'm not. My path has taken a few more twists and turns. My personal journey with faith communities began as an infant, being baptized in a Methodist church. Shortly after that, my parents joined a large Pentecostal congregation, 2,500 members. They brought their 6-month-old along with them. As a kid, the church became a center of community for our family. We'd typically be there 2 to 3 times a week. There was a lot to do. It was also in these Pentecostal churches I first experienced a contemporary worship service. The music was high energy and vibrant. It seemed like people were really into their faith. This was the 1980s, and the pastors there liked to speak about current hot-button topics of the day. Sometimes the pastors at this church made God sound kind of angry, angry at certain people for doing certain things. Where was this God of love we're taught about in Sunday school? I couldn't always see God in that way in this church. Somewhat frustrated, I began to drift away from church later in high school. College, it really wasn't that different. I wasn't part of a faith community. There were the typical college distractions getting my attention. That changed when Kathy and I got engaged. We decided it was important to find a faith community that worked for both of us, and off church shopping we went. We tried all sorts of settings, Methodist, Baptist, Wesleyan, Mennonite, even Lutheran. She was sure about that one. I joked to Kathy, maybe we should go to a Wiccan gathering. We never quite got there. It's probably good. At some point in our church shopping, I fell in love with her Lutheran heritage. From the hymns, to the liturgy, to the potluck suppers. I was hooked. They're really good potluck suppers. But it was the Lutheran focus on grace that sealed the deal, that there is nothing we can do to separate us from the love of God, that we are both saint and sinner at all times, That's just a beautiful thing. Since then, faith communities have become an important part of our marriage and our understanding of what it means to be a parent. The time we spent church shopping turned out to be one of the best investments in our marriage that we've made. In good times and bad, it's given us a shared, solid foundation to build our relationship with something we both believe in and value. This next story can be a lifelong pursuit if you let it, the call to learn. It took me a while to figure out what exactly it was I wanted to be when I grew up. An assessment from the high school guidance counselor said I'd be good at engineering. That's what the survey said. Okay. Well, I liked Legos. I didn't have a clue what a career in engineering would look like. Perhaps not quite trusting this potential call, I narrowed the search of schools down to three characteristics. First, a liberal arts school with an engineering program. Finally, a school that had some kind of Christian affiliation. Guess that hadn't quite gone away. Turns out not too many schools have this particular combination of traits. They're a little different. After a couple of visits, I settled on a Lutheran university, go figure, unknown to me at the time, Valparaiso in northwest Indiana. Go Crusaders. Going to Valpo for undergrad ended up influencing my future paths in more ways than I ever could have imagined. After three semesters, it became fairly clear that the black and white world of civil engineering was not my call. Turns out there's a set number of ways to build a bridge correctly. I wasn't too good at figuring out what those set numbers were. Stray away from those ways and the bridge will fall. Also not good. But a liberal arts education teaches more than just black and white formulas. First, it taught me to view the world in various shades of gray. Later, I learned to appreciate the world in full color, too. Turns out this worldview of grays and colors is compatible with the field of psychology. Life isn't always as precise as the mathematical equations engineering requires. It can be messy, yet colorful, beautiful, too. I was drawn to this messy beauty. Valpo was also where I first studied theology, but not by choice. At Valpo, all students are required to take three theology courses. And I'll be honest with you, at the time, taking those theology classes, I hated it. Not fun. The course on comparative religions, that one was the worst. Why study other religions? Why seek to understand if you're already secure in your own beliefs? Those were my thoughts as a freshman in college. The beliefs of my childhood, which, like engineering, were also fairly black and white, were being challenged in these theology courses. Over time, my understanding of God started to change. Just like with psychology, I began to see that God was in the middle of this messy beauty, too. After graduating from Valpo, I learned pretty quickly that you can't do much with a bachelor's degree in psychology. Apologies to those with a bachelor's degree in psychology. At least I couldn't do much with it. So off to graduate school I went to earn a master's degree in market research. This field is a mixture of marketing and psychology. There's plenty of gray and colors, some messy beauty to be had here as well. After graduating, I accepted an offer to work at a large market research firm. Stayed with them for 13 years. My time spent working in market research taught me much that relates to this next call. Marketers are trained to understand the differences between people objectively, no judgments, and then to find ways to reach these various groups with messaging people connect with. I learned to love and embrace the differences in people in all their messy beauty. At times, our sense of call takes us through something to get us to something. This was the case for me. My through something was a deep personal darkness of depression, and that was not too much fun. This dark episode began in 2011. Ironically, it started with a moment most people would consider a positive, a promotion into management at work. A couple months after that, a good friend passed away at the age of 39. He was far too young. A few weeks after that, my mother-in-law passed away too. All this change at work and loss of loved ones messed me up pretty good, led to many sleepless nights. For 6 weeks, I averaged 3 hours of sleep a night. Over time, this took a toll. Not being able to sleep, I first went to a psychiatrist. Initially, he prescribed sleeping pills. When that didn't work, he prescribed ADHD medication. Let's try something, I guess. When that didn't work, I requested anxiety pills for particularly stressful moments of life. And when all of that failed, I finally went to a psychologist. Should have gone there first, maybe. She correctly diagnosed me with a major depressive episode and recommended a treatment plan. Within days of treatment, the dark fog of depression began to lift. I began to heal. I began to live again. While all this was going on, I also tried another treatment. Maybe you've tried this one too. God. I read scripture, searching for answers in ancient wisdom. I read Christian books, thinking some nugget of truth would leap off the page. In these depths of despair, I was the one calling to God, not the other way around. At first, my call started out as prayer requests. When those requests weren't met, they became more like demands. Come on, God, let's do this. I yelled at God in the midst of this depression, a lot, begging God, take away this ailment. Each attempt I made to call God, the answer as I understood it was the same. God was silent. I was alone. Reflecting back on this, with the benefit of time, healing, and a perspective on the Almighty that has evolved a little, I see the experience now for what it was. I know now God had been calling my extension the entire time. God guided me through the depths of depression that included pills, prayers, and pain. God was present through the love and patience of my wife, who both supported and challenged me. Most importantly, she stayed by my side when times were tough. God appeared through support from friends and hugs of empathy from people determined to be present in my pain. God showed God's self in the wisdom of a psychologist who within 15 minutes of meeting me spoke with clarity. I know this problem, she said confidently. You are clinically depressed. We can do something about that. Thinking about all those sleepless nights filled with tears, I realize I was not alone at all. God didn't need my phone calls. God was already there, fully present, phone in hand. I just didn't know it at the time. God had not fallen asleep on me. We both had insomnia. You may be thinking at this point, these stories, they're all well and good. But what led you to pursue ordination? To want to be a pastor? You know, answer the call from the big guy upstairs. Well, it's these small stories weaved together that led to this next call. A second major depressive episode hit me later that year. Whew, here we go again. This time the depression hit harder, beat me down further, recovery took longer. It was bad enough this time I walked away from my job of those 13 years. Wife Kathy stood by me like no other. Make the most of this fresh start. Find something you're passionate about, she told me. Without her support, this call story is not complete. The bigger call also includes our children, Hannah and Graham. They continue to teach me about unconditional love and how to dive into life with both feet. Without them, my understanding of a loving God, there with you through the thick and the thin, it wouldn't be the same. Being part of a faith community is also part of this larger call. Faith communities have played a central role in my identity most of my life. Life has made the most sense, brought the most joy, when I've been knee-deep, actively involved in the life of the church. That's a capital C there. A good faith community draws out the best in people, gives us shared purpose, a common mission that is so much larger than our own. My time spent learning and doing market research, that's definitely part of this larger call. In marketing, you learn to identify differences in people, respect those differences, and then draw on those differences, uniting toward a common purpose. Sound familiar? Perhaps that's not too unlike what we strive for in faith communities. While the goals of market research may be different, sure, a little bit more about the Benjamins, the approaches we take in uniting in a faith community around common purpose, those are largely the same. The personal darkness of depression, as painful as that was, drew me towards this next call. I had to literally walk away from a prior call to make space for this next one. During this time, I also learned important lessons about the nature of God, that God walks with us and suffers alongside us and stays with us no matter what. These lessons continue to move and mold me day by day. But enough about that. Call stories go far, far beyond just one person. Martin Luther refers to a priesthood of all believers, suggesting everyone has been called. Luther quotes 2 Peter 2:9 to back up this claim. That verse says, "You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness and into his wondrous light." Our reading from Ephesians 4 this week reflects this theme as well. Verse 4 through 6 say, "Just as you were called into the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all." Did you notice what two words show up most in that message? The first is call. The second is all. Looked at a certain way, we could summarize the words of Martin Luther, 2 Peter, and Paul in the letter to the Ephesians with these five short words. The call is for all. Let's repeat that together. You guys do some of that. The call is for all. Yes, all. Everyone, including you. To illustrate this, I'd like to use a few numbers, sorry, market research background, to talk about these next call stories, your call stories. Later in this service, 17 people will be installed today as Stephen ministers. Their new role is to lend an ear to people that need to know Christ's love. This group of 17 spent 50 hours and a summer of Thursday evenings recently to become certified for this ministry. Not just that, they signed on for a 2-year commitment. Why on earth would anyone make such a time-consuming, selfless commitment? Maybe it's this concept of call. Perhaps these Stephen ministers know that God's call is for all of them. The 9:30 service, 20 people will be joining the congregation as new members today. 13 adults, 7 kids. To join, each of them gave up over 3 hours of a recent Saturday morning to learn more about this faith community. Why would they do that? Aren't Saturday mornings made for relaxing after a long week? For turning the alarm clock off and sleeping in? Maybe it's a desire to be part of something life-giving, bigger than ourselves, that calls all of them. 43 people showed up 6 days ago in this room to start a 9-week course discovering God's vision for your life. 43. These 43 have chosen to invest 14 hours of their time on Monday nights to talk about God, vision, and life. Why? Because they want to listen deeply for God's vision, God's call for their lives. 35. That's the number of families that felt called away from one faith community to do something new in Juneau Beach almost 30 years ago. You can see a list of people involved in this call right over there on the wall. Kind of sounds like Dr. Seuss. These people felt called to create the community that now we know as Holy Spirit Lutheran. Without this call story, none of these other call stories would even be possible. Or at least they wouldn't be the same. 300. No, that's not a movie reference. That's about the number of people that will walk through the door of this sanctuary today. If you're sitting here, you're in that number. A question: why are you here in this moment, right now? It is not by chance. You could be out golfing. You could be grocery shopping. I still need to do some of that. Heck, you could be sleeping off a doozy of a hangover. I've had a few of those. But you aren't doing any of those things. You're right here. I'd like to close with a request. Take a little time to think about what led you to this very place, right here, right now, and where God may be calling you to.
Let me just ask you,